Hello, and welcome to episode one of The Perfect Cast. I'm Jack.
And I'm Lisa, and this week we'll be discussing RuPaul's Drag Race UK and Disney+.
Also, movie trailers from this week, Call of Duty, Overwatch 2, and Jedi Fallen Order. So Disney Plus came out in America this week.
Yeah, it came out on November 12th.
And we don't get it over in the UK until March 31st, which we're disappointed about.
So disappointed. We are lucky. We do have Disney Life, and we have had Disney Life for a few years, but we don't get any new content.
No.
Because the UK has a contract with Sky, we don't get any of the latest like Avengers films. We have to wait like 2 years before they come onto Disney Life.
Yeah.
So we're not getting any new content. It's great that we can watch like original DuckTales and Gummy Bears, but America is getting like
the Jeff Goldblum show.
Yeah, what's that called? Really cool. Like Life in...
I can't remember.
Like A Life According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
They get The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
The New Lady and the Tramp, Noelle, Lizzie McGuire. Everything, like,
yeah,
I want all of that.
As well as all the Marvel films.
Yeah, they
all
get
the Star
everything.
Wars films, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons, yeah, because
National
they just
National Geographic.
Acquired, yeah.
They get so much.
I know. And, which is great, it's the same price as Disney Life.
Yeah.
So it's $6.99 a month. So that, I think that's a pretty impressive price considering Netflix costs a little bit more, well, £9 a month
£9,
I pay.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm really excited for it to come out. I just wish it was out now, like I've seen so many spoilers and just,
yeah, one of the hardest things is avoiding Instagram and Twitter whilst we follow lots of like Star Wars pages and Disney,
yeah,
pages.
I'm very into Disney and I followed a lot of people who go to the Disney park, so avoiding spoilers has been impossible.
Well, we're super excited for The Mandalorian anyway.
Yeah,
that looks absolutely fantastic.
It does,
although I wonder how they're going to do it. It's probably really hard for Pedro Pascal to act if he just constantly wears his helmet.
Yeah.
Or you're playing the main role, but no one actually sees
you.
Your face.
Yeah.
So, but they'd be really excited to see how that happens. Also, what I want to know, they are currently coming out once a week.
That sometimes they come out on, but they come out every Friday.
Yeah.
But sometimes they get one on a Wednesday as well.
Oh. Okay.
So there's this week they came out on Tuesday.
Yes.
And Friday.
Yes.
Next week it's next Friday,
yeah.
And then the week of Christmas they get it.
It'll be probably
Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, it'll be because of over the Christmas period.
Release.
So what I want to know is when it releases in the UK, will they drop the
weekly?
Entire series, or will it be weekly episodes?
Oh, I don't know.
So, I don't know what would you rather it be.
I like to binge.
Yeah.
So I'd rather it be like, yeah. I like looking forward to things every week, but
yeah.
I think our generation are used to like Netflix and.
Yeah. So for me, I think if it's such a high quality TV show like
Game of Thrones,
when you've got that once a week to look forward to,
it is good.
But it has to be quite a high caliber. For me, it has to be a high caliber TV,
yeah,
show that's got a lot of hype, but is also, it meets that hype in,
yeah,
terms of quality. And The Mandalorian looks like it could do that. It's Jon Favreau, who's one
That's
of our
one
favorite
thing
directors.
I wanted to discuss, yeah, like, is Jon Favreau is involved in it, and he's like a massive Disney nerd, a massive Star Wars nerd, Marvel.
He's
got his finger in every pie.
Yeah.
I was going to say toe in every pool, but I don't think that's the same.
I think that's when you're just starting to do something, so you dip your toe in.
Oh, right, okay. Well, he's got his finger in every pie in the Walt Disney Company.
Yes.
But I just have a lot of faith in Jon Favreau because he is very passionate. He doesn't like to, like, cut corners.
No, he puts a lot of time and effort into his
From what
work.
I've, like, read and seen, there's not as much CGI as you'd expect. They've stuck to like the original, where it's like puppets and just like old school Star Wars, which is what we all want.
So Star Wars, some of the newer stuff, it's gone too far down the CGI route.
Yeah.
When it's fine having
it's
puppetry.
Charming.
It's charming, yeah. It's like the new series of The Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
It's half puppets and half CGI, and it works.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be afraid to use puppets, because as long as the story's strong enough or there's enough going on you don't want it to be bad puppetry, but it isn't. It still looks like realistic within that universe. Well, yeah,
because if you're using CGI, CGI only looks good for the 2 years of the release since it was released.
Yeah.
So if you're riding a CGI horse in 2002, it may have looked great in 2002, but you look at it now and it, you're like, what is that animal?
Yeah, it's crazy
puppetry
how...
Puppetry is better because it's physical, it's
there.
It
will always look that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I am excited. I can't wait to watch it. March 31st, though.
March 31st.
It's so far away.
It's 4 months.
I know it'll be here before we know it, but there's so much I want to watch.
But avoiding spoilers for that long is going to be so difficult.
I've already seen a few. Like, I have to put on Twitter, like, anybody who spoils The Mandalorian for the UK,
yeah,
I'm unfollowing you instantly.
Well, you can do that thing on Twitter, can't you, where you hide if it says...
But no one's putting Mandalorian, they're just putting pictures.
Oh, okay.
So I saw something that happened on the first episode that was a bit like, oh
no.
Yeah, so I've seen
hopefully
something.
Hopefully we'll have covered so much stuff by then that you've
forgotten
this.
I don't know, it was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, so that's The Mandalorian and Disney Plus. So we'll definitely be getting it when it comes out.
Yeah.
But it's not coming out for 4 months.
Oh! So what else are you looking forward to on Disney Plus? Is there anything?
Off the top of my head, probably the Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
None of the Marvel stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm excited to have access to all the Marvel films.
Because there's two things that I'm curious about with Marvel.
Is the nothing's been released?
Not yet.
With new Marvel things?
Not yet.
Is that... Oh, there's like
it's
the sitcom
like,
thing.
Oh.
Oh, you're on about the...
It's called like What If or something like that. It's along them lines.
Yes.
And it is what if it was... Is it Captain Britain? Yeah, what if the British woman was there instead of Steve Rogers and she becomes Captain Britain?
Ah, okay.
So it's like...
Yeah, what is it?
It's like a butterfly effect
like
sort of show.
Alternate universe type thing.
Yeah, yeah, but it's called What If, I think.
Yeah, that would be interesting, but is it like a TV series where... Every episode is different, and it's like, what if it wasn't Wolverine? Isn't Logan wasn't Wolverine? Or...
So like, there's like Hulk one, a Spider-Man one.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know how it's gonna work, but from what I heard on D23, it sounded good. That's the one people were most excited for.
Yeah.
Then the one you were talking about was like, the Dick Van Dyke Show, but it was Marvel.
Yeah.
Which I'm so curious about.
The,
it's the guy with
Vision and. Yeah. The Scarlet Witch, Red Witch, Scarlet something. I can't remember.
What the heck's her name?
The one who's got like red physics.
Isn't she an Olsen?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure she's an Olsen. Not a twin. The
right.
Other Olsen.
A sister.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I think she is. I mean, she looks like
that's supposed
like
to be set up like a sitcom.
Like a sitcom, but like a 1950s American sitcom like The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Which it
or
sounds
like. I Love
like
Lucy.
If they get it right, or the
yeah.
What am I thinking of? The not props, the... Sets. So if they get the sets right and the writing good, I think it'll be interesting. What's getting me is Vision's quite a serious character.
Yeah.
And
don't really know much about them though, do we?
Yeah, and I'm gonna call her the Scarlet Witch. But I don't think that's right. For me, she's like quite a sub character because she's not one of the main heroes.
Yeah.
And in the Avengers: Age of Ultron, she really annoyed me.
Oh.
Like, I just found... I found the character quite just frustrating. But it would be interesting to see her do a slightly different role.
Yeah.
Like, play... Not playing
really
just superhero. Just
what's going to happen in it. Like, everyone who went to D23 and saw the clips...
Yeah.
They came out confused and didn't really understand. Because they kept showing clips of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, okay.
So that's why everyone was like, what the heck is this? So that's why I'm curious for that one. Like... I wouldn't say I was excited for it. I just want to know what's going on.
Fair enough. So yeah, Disney Plus. What else? Anything you are excited for?
I am so excited for Lucy McGuire. Oh. I'm so excited. She lives in New York. She's grown up. She's got kids. She's got a dream job. Her mum, dad, and brother are all going to be in it. Matt's got a mustache.
We had Hey Now playing at our wedding.
So that makes it sound like I walked down the aisle to it.
No, it was on the evening do we had, we were all dancing.
I got Jack's best man to put it on for me because our DJ was upstairs, so I couldn't get upstairs in my dress. So I got the best man to run up and request it, and they wouldn't. So we had to really fight for it. And when it came on, everyone danced.
So Lisa's a big Lizzie McGuire fan. So yeah, based in New York? Was it already based in New York?
No, I don't know where she lived, but she lives in New York City now with her kids, and she's got a dream job. I think it's at a dream guy. I don't know, but I am so excited for it. I'm also excited for Noelle.
Okay, that's the Anna Kendrick one.
Anna Kendrick and... Bill Hader?
Is it Bill Hader?
Bill Hader.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Christmas film.
Yes.
I don't know how good it's going to be, but it looks witty and Anna Kendrick-y.
It looks kind of Elf-esque.
Probably not as classic as Elf, but I think it'll be a fun Christmas film.
I think that's something we've not had in a while, is a good Christmas film where you look forward to watching that one every year. So we have a range of Christmas films that we watch. Leading up to Christmas, normally starting with live action ones, and then
every year we start with Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah, as we get closer, it goes to more family,
childhood memory
ones or animated ones.
Yeah,
but yeah, there was that one that came out on Netflix that we didn't watch in the end, or I didn't watch it.
Oh, with
Kurt Russell.
I was gonna say Russell Crowe, and I knew that wasn't right. Kurt Russell. Yeah, I didn't see that. Everyone said it was good. But
yeah, it just didn't.
There's a new one on Netflix actually called Klaus.
Oh, yes. That's an animated one, isn't it?
Yeah, I watched the trailer for it because it only came out yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So we should watch that and talk about that maybe next week.
How did the trailer make you feel?
It looked really good. I really liked the style of animation. And I think that could be like a good family.
Okay.
There's a few bits that made me like chuckle.
Yeah. We always start Christmas around November 20th. It was our anniversary until we got married, and then it's now earlier in November, but we tend to start it around the 20th, and that's it. We have a six week Christmas instead of a lot of people only do the last sort of 2 weeks.
No,
some
a lot
people start
put
from
the
first because of the advent calendars.
Yeah,
but we like to get the tree up and get the house feeling
well. You spend so much money on Christmas decorations, why put them up for 2 weeks? What's the point?
Yeah. And that's our point where we start watching Christmas movies. Yes. I'm sure we'll have a Christmas movie section in podcasts to come.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
The Klaus trailer.
Disney Plus. I had one more.
Okay, one more on Disney Plus.
There is something called the Imagineering Story.
Ooh, okay.
And that's coming out weekly at the minute in the States, but like all of my Disney Parks friends are like watching that and they are saying how incredible it is.
So just for those who don't know, an Imagineer is a person who works at Disney in the parks, and it's basically someone who creates. And it's sort of like a dream job, isn't it?
It really is. Imagineer comes from imagination engineer.
Yes.
So that's where the term comes from. Walt Disney created it as teams to be Imagineers. To create the parks and make things authentic and magical and etc. So this is a story about, this is a documentary about creating Disneyland and animatronics, because that animatronic is a copyrighted term for Disney. They created audio and audio animatronics. Yeah.
Okay.
So the first ever audio animatronic they made was a tiki bird.
Yeah.
From the Tiki Room.
Yep.
You can go see that in Walt Disney World and in Tokyo Disney. And in Disneyland, California. So they talk about how they design the parks, how they create audio animatronics and all of that. And somebody put on Twitter the other day, can't believe the Imagineering Story killed off a major character in the first episode.
Oh, God. Spoilers already.
Walt died in 1966.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
Just make me laugh.
Very good.
But
very funny.
Next week, they're talking about like Mary Blair, and it looks really good. I just... have to wait till March.
Yeah.
But really, I'm going to nerd out over that completely.
So, yep. Disney Plus, we have to wait 4 months for, and there's lots of cool stuff on there.
Yeah.
So we can have a lot of FOMO until then. All right.
I've been watching Drag Race.
Okay.
We're at the penultimate, is that the right
penultimate
word?
Yeah.
Penultimate episode of the Drag Race. UK. I don't even know what happened this week. My mind's gone blank.
So it's the first time that Drag Race has been in the UK, and we're now down to the last three
girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been really good. I was really nervous for it to start because one, it's on the BBC and the BBC are like notorious for doing things a bit cheaply.
Yeah.
But it's the same sort of quality as the American version. The only downside is the prize isn't $100,000 and Anastasia makeup. It's a trip to Hollywood with a team who can make you a web series. And every week, if you win the weekly challenge, you just get a Rupita badge instead of $1,000 worth of wigs or a holiday to Cancun or whatever. Like, it's just a badge. But other than that, yeah, it has been a fantastic season. Like, our girls are funnier. They're not as bitchy. They are really dry and they look after each other, I think. So it's been like, it's been a really interesting series.
With it being their first one in the UK, they might be all there for each other now, but I don't know whether that'll...
I don't know, because like when Americans watch Great British Bake Off,
yeah,
that's the one comment that they always say is how nice the British people are to each other. Yeah. Like, we're not like, I'm here to win. But this week, spoiler alert, Cheryl Hole left. In my personal opinion, she should have gone last week, because last week, the main stage challenge, that one of the judges was Cheryl Cole, or Cheryl, who is her idol. She should have gone last week and Blue Hydrangea should have stayed. But because Cheryl Cole was there,
yeah,
I think they kept Cheryl Hole in just because like it would have been devastating for a hero to send her home. And I think Blue would have still been here. This week, the challenge was they had to dress a family member, a mum or a sister, in drag. I thought it was really fun. Like, I always find it interesting watching the girls put drag on another person. Like, a lot of them aren't very good at putting makeup on someone else, which it is hard to put makeup on someone else. You should know, Jack.
So a while ago, Lisa challenged me to put makeup on her to see how I got on. It didn't go very well.
I looked like I've been punched in the face.
There's a YouTube video of it, so we'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone did really well, apart from Bagger Chips. She made a mum look like a man in drag, but not a good man in drag. A bit Connie and Carla.
Yeah.
Her makeup was as good as the makeup you put on me, and it wasn't...
I think that's a bit harsh. It wasn't too bad.
Okay, so she like... did the whole glued eyebrows thing and then drew her eyebrows like too far up her forehead and then just did bright blue eyeshadow. So it just made her look dirty and just like a child's done her makeup. And then when the judges said that, you know, it wasn't very good, her response was, well, it's hard to dress an older lady and she's blind as a bat, and just insulted her mum for why she did so bad. And no one else struggled and they all had mums, so... that's not an excuse. And she made her mum cry on stage and it was just, it was horrible, wasn't it?
I think she embarrassed her and said...
she just slagged her off. It was horrible.
Yeah, but... and the thing is, I think as Bagger says in the show, we only see the mum in this one episode and the people she's with.
Mm.
I've only met her for that one day. So there's a lot of...
there was a lot of tension between them.
That we don't know.
Yeah, because like everyone else had a bond and they didn't seem to have that bond. Yeah. But I just don't think she knew how to... I don't know. It was hard to watch, but it made me lose a bit of respect for Bagger, which is a shame because she was like in my top two. So Bagger and Cheryl Hole were in the bottom two. So they had to lip sync for the life and Bagger got to stay. So that means our final top three girls are... Bagger Chips, the Vivian, and Davina DeCampo.
Yeah.
So next week, I think it's the final. I don't really know how they're doing it this season because normally they do a live final, but in the preview it wasn't.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
My money's on the Vivian, though.
I want the Vivian to win because she's...
a scouser.
She claims she's from Liverpool even though she grew up in Wales, but...
ooh, this is throwing shade.
But, yeah, no, I do want the Vivian to win. Don't tell no one.
Well... my money's on the Vivian too, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. Okay, so we've watched a couple of movie trailers in the past week. So there's a few films. We're not necessarily going to go and watch them when they come out, but they're just the ones that caught our attention recently. So
they are all kids films.
They are all kids films.
Because there wasn't any trailers for new films that weren't for kids really this week.
Yeah.
Or well, if they were, we missed them.
It's that lead up to Christmas. Yeah. So lots of studios bringing out kids' films because then families can go and watch the Christmassy,
yeah,
like kids' film or what have you.
Two of the kids' films are based on things really from, well, like our childhood.
Yeah, from the 90s and late 80s.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I guess.
Probably before that. Yeah. Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I think he was around in the 60s, wasn't he? Yeah. I don't know. I may have just made that up.
<It's> leaks. I think the most controversial one was the new Sonic trailer.
Yeah, because the original trailer came out like
about three, 4 months ago.
Yeah, in summer. And they made Sonic so creepy. Yeah. He had like the longest legs. He had creepy teeny tiny eyes and this weird face. And they made him look hairy. And I'm like, he's a hedgehog.
I think the other thing, and you might have pointed it out as well, is he had two... They were individual eyes.
Yeah, they weren't like the M shape that he's got.
Sonic's eyes sort of join in the middle. So he does obviously, he has two, he has two eyes, but the shape is one shape.
Yeah, it's one shape.
Like an M.
Yeah.
And they've added that's how they've made his face look now. Yeah. So he actually looks more like Sonic.
That's what I was going to say. Like, everyone complains so much about how creepy they made Sonic look. So the studio were like, we've taken your feedback. Thank God he's just a CGI character. We can go back and edit him and plop him back into what we've already filmed. So I'm glad they've changed them to make him look more like Sonic the Hedgehog. The film itself, it looks super cheesy. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to be a film that me and you can go to. I think it's a film that you would only go and see if you've got a kid.
Yeah, and even on that, like for me, it just felt like it was perfect for a 10-year-old boy. The way he talks, the way he acts, he's acting like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I would have enjoyed it as a kid.
Yeah?
Because it's very, like, slapstick comedy. It's very, like, stupid jokes that...
Yeah.
I can imagine a kid, like, howling too.
Yeah.
Like, laughing really.
It's weird.
But to me, it was just, like, I kept rolling my eyes all the way through the trailer. And you know the way trailers always put, like, the best jokes in?
Yeah.
If that was the best jokes,
if they're the best jokes, then
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, so Sonic is running around his universe as normal, and then Dr. Robotnik's after him to get his powers, so he comes over into our world to escape him, and that's essentially the story. From the trailer, this is what I've grasped. Dr. Robotnik comes into our world too, sends his robots after us, and after Sonic, to try and get his powers.
Dr. Robotnik's played by Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Which is a great choice because he's very comedic.
Yep.
But Dr. Robotnik is called like Eggman as like his nickname because he's the shape of an egg.
Yeah.
And he's like a short, fat, ginger egg man.
Whereas they just made him look
Carrey's just a tall man.
A stereotypical villain. Very skinny. But they've given him a big mustache.
Yeah.
Which...
And like his jokes were so cringy. I was just embarrassed watching it.
In Sonic's world, it looks like the video game and like CG. And obviously, he looks CG in our world, but Dr. Robotnik doesn't.
I don't know, John.
That's what I want to know.
Did we see Dr. Robotnik as CG?
No.
Oh.
We didn't see him. We only see Sonic briefly
in his
running around Green Hill Zone, and then he bounces into our world through a ring. Also, what I want to know is if Sonic gets hurt, do rings bounce out of him and he has to pick them all up and that makes him feel better?
It's a very good question. I don't know. Yeah, I do think it's going to be a fun film for kids. Probably wouldn't. If I had kids, I don't think I'd pay to see it. I'd wait for it to come on telly.
Yeah, same.
But I think kids would enjoy it. Adults, not so much.
No. So the other trailer we watched, which is of a similar vein, is the Scoob trailer.
Yeah, like... I like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, I liked the movies that came out in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
This looks very cute. It's all CGI. It looks very clean. It looks good.
Yeah.
But...
Right.
Like, for me, they've made Velma very slim, and I like that she was a bit curvy.
Yeah.
And they've made Daphne, like... this whiny teenager.
Yeah. There's a couple of jokes in there which were clearly meant for just adults.
Yeah.
So the one where Daphne says, reminds me of my dad.
Yeah.
I think the line beforehand is something about smelling like scotch.
Scotch and cigarettes or cigars. Yeah,
so it's given them this like dark backstory.
I quite like that because it does like an origin story with how they all met on Halloween dressed as like characters and they see a ghost in a house. The one thing I don't like is Scoob's voice.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like Scooby-Doo.
It's almost over the top, isn't it?
Yeah. And then it does like a flashback to how Scooby and Shaggy meet.
Yeah.
And Scooby is the creepiest puppy I've ever seen. Like, puppies are so easy to make cute, and they've made him this weird, huge-footed, creepy dog.
Yeah.
And he's still got Scooby's voice, but Shaggy has got a baby's voice. Like, I wish they did, like,
A
baby Scooby voice.
Yeah, but then the weird thing is as well, they're both supposed to be young. How come he doesn't look like Scrappy-Doo?
That's all I wanted. Actually, no, Scrappy-Doo's
Although,
creepy.
I don't like Scrappy-Doo.
Anybody likes Scrappy-Doo.
I didn't like him in the second Scooby-Doo movie.
There was a few jokes in that trailer that made me like chuckle. Like you laughed out loud.
Yeah, I laughed out loud a few times. It's when they go into the spaceship and Shaggy says something, but Scooby says IKEA.
He says, "Don't you know where we are? Blue lights, white interior." And he's like, "IKEA." And he's like, "No."
I don't know why. It made me laugh. It was a cheap laugh.
But it was like it made us laugh. Like that's the difference between Sonic and this. It's like a family could go and enjoy this film, whereas Sonic, you could take your kids to go and enjoy a film.
My guess from the trailer is it shows how the gang met, and also it seems that Shaggy and Scooby get split up from the rest of the gang because they get
abducted. The looks of it.
Yeah.
But Falcon Fury, I don't know who that is. Is that the one we're supposed to know?
I don't know.
Because that's who they get abducted by.
As long as when they capture the villain, they pull off the mask.
And it's Mr. Richardson from down the street. Or
yeah, it's the guy you knew who it
old
was
man
the whole
Snooki.
Time. Yeah. Then we're on the right lines for a good Scooby-Doo film.
But I don't think this is going to be like a classic. I think it's just going to be a film that in 5 years' time no one will really be thinking about.
And are they going to make more? Scoob 2? Scooby-Doo 2?
Scoob-Doo?
Losing
letters each sequel.
Yeah. I thought you meant French. So the Scoob looks okay.
Yeah, like if it was on Netflix and it was a Sunday morning, I would probably watch it.
That's the perfect film for it. It's a Sunday morning, easy watch.
With me Cocoa Pops.
With the Cocoa Pops. So the third and final trailer we watched wasn't as long as the other two trailers. This is just the teaser trailer. And that's for Disney Pixar's new movie, Soul.
Mm. It's Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey.
Ah, okay.
They don't really give much away.
No.
In the teaser, what we see is a guy who's playing piano and he's saying, "What do you want to do with your life? Do you want to be remembered for something, or do you just want to get by and get on with things?" Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, what legacy are you going to leave behind? And you see him excited running through the streets saying he needs a haircut because he's got an audition or he got a job or something, and then he falls down a manhole, and then he turns into this little glowy
bulb.
Yeah,
looks like a bulb.
But I think it's meant to be his soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all we really see.
It is Pixar, but it's from the guys who did Inside Out.
Yeah,
and Up.
So you know it's going to be emotional.
From the style of it, you can tell instantly it's the Inside Out studio. It looks fantastic. Not 100% what the story is. It's giving me Inside Llewellyn Davis vibes.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be emotional. Like, I can already tell it's going to be emotional, and I think at the end of it you'll be thinking about like what can you do with your life and how do you better yourself. It's very Inside Out, like you said, and it didn't give as much, but like I trust Pixar and I think it's going to be a good film that we can go see alone, don't need kids to go see it.
In the past couple of years we've been a bit disappointed with Pixar's releases, with them just doing sequels to things and having no original idea.
Pixar?
I don't know.
Because
there was Cars 2 and 3.
Yeah,
Planes
that was
2,
like 2010.
Toy Story 4.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Finding Dory.
Oh, okay. No, you win, okay.
But Pixar are fantastic. Like, the first two Toy Stories were amazing. Monsters, Inc. was amazing.
Well, Pete Docter was at D23, which is Disney's Comic-Con, basically, this year. And he promised no more sequels because I think they're aware that people just find it lazy. They're not coming up with new concepts. It's just a lazy cash grabbing way to make a movie. Like,
yeah,
you're not creating anything new. Adults enjoy these films. Like, you don't need a kid.
Yeah.
But if you're making Cars 1, 2, 3, Planes 1, 2, Finding Dory 1, 2, like,
yeah, Finding Dory, Monsters University.
Just, yeah, it's just a way for kids to be like, oh, there's my favorite character, let's go see that again. But yeah, we all know that they're not going to be as good as the first one, minus Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pete Docter has said no more sequels, just
and
original.
Pete Docter is one of the original animators on,
yeah,
Masters
and I
Inc,
think
right?
He is the head. Oh yeah, he's one of the original animators, full stop.
Cool, cool. Well, that's good, because I think I've seen him in a few Pixar documentaries.
Yeah,
like, he's the guy that's like, oh, we love the original ideas, and
yeah,
you know, we concepted Monsters, Inc. And it, the way he talks about it,
he's dead passionate, isn't
he?
He's
very passionate. Yeah, so my takeaway from it, the lockup they use for the film, like the logo and the marketing, it just looks fantastic. It had that sort of watercolour palette.
Mm.
They're really good with these, like the brand for the film, just having such a simple idea and it just looking really cool. So that was a big takeaway for me. So I'm guessing with the name Soul, it's based around soul music and also possibly finding your soul and your passion.
Well, assuming he's died or he's in a coma or something's happened to him. So when you die, don't you, like, your,
yeah,
soul goes somewhere and your body stays here,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
So I assume he's died and he's gone to a better place,
well,
where his soul is.
From the trailer, it looks like when he falls down the manhole, he goes into this alternate universe or
where his soul
finds his soul. And Tina Fey is there because she does the little cowboy dance.
I don't know if that was her, but yeah.
Well, yeah, that bit on the trailer,
that's a bit for
it
the kids.
It was wasted on me. It was, I don't know if it was trying to be funny. Maybe in the context of the film,
mm-hmm,
it makes sense and is
I
funny.
Think that
for
was
me,
just
it
was a joke
odd
to grab kids' attention.
Right.
Because the rest of it wasn't very, like, if I was little, just,
yeah,
a man running around the streets excited, saying he needs a haircut, wouldn't be like, I want to see that film, Mum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
so a little kid doing a cowboy dance, I would have been like,
what Pixar can allow themselves to do and what a few animation studios have been doing is they're making these animated films for adults that can also be enjoyed by children,
mm,
instead of making an animated film for children that can be enjoyed by adults.
Yeah.
It seems like in recent years, that's the path they're going down.
Well, I think a lot, especially like Pixar, they're realising that like 80s and 90s kids haven't moved on. We've grown up with Toy Story. We wanted to continue seeing Toy Story in our late 20s.
Yeah.
We've grown up with Andy. We want to see where Andy goes. So I think they've realised that, yeah, it's for kids, but adults enjoy it because they've grown up with it. They want to enjoy the films too, because,
yeah,
it takes you out of real world, because real world can be crappy sometimes. So you want to be in this imaginary world that isn't just for kids.
I think for me, like, you want closure with these characters.
Yes.
It's good to see where they go. Don't just leave it on a cliffhanger for us.
Well, this is the point I was trying to get at, sorry. So, like, our generation,
yeah,
like 80s and 90s kids, the re-release and everything we grew up with, because they know that we want to see it. Or like I know we didn't watch Full House when we were younger.
Right.
But they've made Fuller House.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we are living nostalgically. We're quite a nostalgic generation. So I think, like, Lizzie McGuire, like, I grew up with Lizzie McGuire. I'm nearly 30 and I still want to watch Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I've tried to watch Lizzie McGuire, the kids show, and it's so crap.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, it was great.
It was the best thing
you've
ever seen.
So a new Lizzie McGuire, which I can enjoy as an adult, a nostalgic thing that I look forward to. So adults are still enjoying a nostalgic child-like film,
yeah,
or TV show. So they create things that both adult and kid can enjoy and feel emotion. Like Up is a great example, because the first 10 minutes, that won't really affect a kid, I don't think, the first 10 minutes,
yeah,
but
not
an adult, like, it sticks with everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of the film's for the kids.
Yeah.
But every adult is touched by the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's what Pixar are really good at doing.
Exactly.
Right, so yeah, that's the three trailers we've watched. Probably have some more trailers to watch as they come out.
Well, Frozen comes out next week, Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah, so we want this section to be about movies, where if we haven't seen anything recently, or there's nothing coming out that we haven't seen yet, we'll probably watch a bunch of trailers,
mm,
and let you know our thoughts on those.
Yeah, so you won't be getting like a film review of Sonic or probably Scoob.
No.
But they are our thoughts on them. We will.
You'll definitely be watching Soul.
I was supposed to say,
yeah,
I'm going to be dragging you to see Soul.
No, you won't have to drag me. It looks really good.
But yeah,
I like Jamie Foxx. I like Tina Fey.
And I like Pixar.
Yep. All of the above. Okay, so that's movies. So, games. It's been out for about 2 weeks now. I've been playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It's got better. When it first came out, there's a few overpowered guns and a few bugs, as is per any release. But yeah, it's good. I get very frustrated. I swear a lot at the TV, as Lisa can vouch for. She tells me off for doing it quite a lot.
I don't mind it during the day. It's when it's 11 o'clock at night. Like, our neighbours must think you're abusive.
I'm also not very good at it. I've played through 3 missions of the campaign, and that's fantastic. It really draws you in, and at times can be quite harrowing.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So you're colourblind.
Yes.
So how do you find playing it? Like, is there colourblind modes or...?
So, yeah, a lot of games, I play a lot of first-person shooters, and I struggle a lot of the time with the red, and it's normally the enemy team that's red. Yeah, you want games to have camouflage, because that's all part of it, but at the same time, you want a fair fight when you're playing the game. So Call of Duty does have built-in colourblind modes, in which in the settings menu it says switch the mode until you can see the logo the clearest. I couldn't see any of them.
Oh.
I don't know if it gives me a disadvantage, because I still play well on the game. Like, I have positive kill death ratios and stuff, but it does limit me sometimes.
Yeah.
There's been other games in the past, usually Tom Clancy games. I think it was...
That was the most frustrating
Rainbow Six Siege. I was really excited, and I couldn't see any of the enemies because of the lack of colorblind modes. Yeah. One of the games me and Lisa play a lot of the time is Overwatch. It has fantastic colorblind modes where you can change it to the different Opias. I can't remember the names of them, like Protanopia, yeah, like, Deutranopia.
When I go and look at your screen, you're very purple and green.
Well, the weird thing is, the colorblind mode I use isn't the type of colorblind I am. The one on Overwatch just differentiates it more.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm Protanopia, which is, I think it's red and green.
You can't see red and greens, because you always see them as the same color.
I don't see them as the same color. I just, anyway.
Well, sometimes you get them muddled up.
And also purples, which it hasn't been diagnosed as that, but I struggle with purples and blues.
Well, when we've done, like, you know, that number, the colorblind test that you used to do in primary school, yeah, where you look at the circles with dots in, and it's like, can you see the number? The ones you can't see are red and green, so that means you can't see red and green the way we can.
Yeah, so my Overwatch is all purple and green, and the other thing that's cool about it is you can change the strength on, like, a 0 to 100 slide. So I run mine at about 25% of purple and green. Otherwise, everything starts looking a bit alien because it's all purple and all green, where now it's like a softer tint.
Because I know whenever you come downstairs, you're like, wow, look at the colours on yours. Like,
yeah.
Gosh.
Speaking of Overwatch, at the moment, there's the new Dr. Mercy skin. So you got to win 9 games and you unlock the Mercy skin.
Yeah, so for the first 3 games, you get like an icon.
Yeah.
And then the second 3 games, you get an icon.
Spray, I think.
The spray.
One's an icon, one's a spray.
And then the other one, the last one's the skin.
Yeah.
And it's like a doctor. So she's got like little glasses on, she's got a lab coat on.
Yeah.
And it says like doctor on her jacket as well.
Dr. Ziegler.
Yeah, it's not my favourite Mercy skin.
We play Overwatch quite often. Mm. We especially love the Mayhem arcade mode.
Mm.
But we play a lot more, especially during Halloween and during Christmas, because just we like the event. But then it's good that they throw in these in between
challenges.
The sort of larger events, they throw in these single character challenges.
Yeah.
There's like the D.Va skin a while ago.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
Had one recently, what was that?
That was Halloween. So they brought out the Halloween skins, and then they also had a Junkrat, Sombra, and Baptiste skin you could unlock.
Yeah, and that was fun, because like then you're not relying on loot boxes, but you're also playing towards something.
Yeah.
Not just loot boxes, because you can get loot boxes from playing any mode.
So along with this, Overwatch 2 was announced a couple of weeks ago. We play it quite a bit. My account is level 600. But that's because me and Lisa both played on that account for a while.
I was off sick from work for like 2 months after surgery, and I played on Jack's account for a lot of that. So I'd like to say that's why he's so high.
I think Lisa gave me about 100 levels on that. Annalisa's account is just reached 500 and something.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're quite high up. So with as Overwatch 2 comes out, we don't want to lose that progress. And it
does it transfer?
I don't know. I know as all your skins and unlocks transfer over, it would be good to maintain that level of, even though your level doesn't mean a great deal, but it still shows where you.
It makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's, you've Overwatch, got some of your time played.
So Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
Is it the same as Overwatch 1? It's just a new version?
It's
or?
The same as Overwatch 1, but it's got slightly different mechanics. The HUD has changed a little bit, so all like your dashboard stuff is slightly different. It's still player versus player, but they've also introduced more of a PvE campaign. Yeah, more of a story, player versus enemy.
Okay, you're just saying all these acronyms, and I'm like, me, I don't know what any of these mean. I've just learned what, like, I can't even remember it is, the away from keyboard.
AFK.
Oh, yeah.
you just said the word.
First out. Oh.
No, dear.
In my head, it began with a P. So
but it's also different where every character has their own ultimate ability, and that's it. You have different characters have different amounts of abilities, but it's not usually more than four, I'd say, and none of these can change. Where in Overwatch 2, it looks like the higher level you get, you can change
the
things
game
out.
Skills.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think like Tracer has like a chain lightning bomb thing instead of a singular pulse bomb.
Well, from like a little clip I saw, it looked more like Final Fantasy than it did Overwatch.
No, it'll still be that first person.
Okay.
Well,
was it a couple of the clips they were like it was above everyone?
That was just a camera angle. So like you know when you watch the Overwatch League,
and they
have like the different angles of them playing in.
Okay, because that's what I was worried about. Because I don't like games like Final Fantasy or WoW.
Well, which is interesting because it's made by the same people.
That might be true, but I don't like The Good Dinosaur, and that's made by Pixar.
Well, there you go.
So if you get a skin on Overwatch 2, would that transfer to Overwatch 1?
No. If you get a skin on Overwatch 1,
it'll transfer to Overwatch 2.
Yeah. So I think the way it's going to work is you can hook up your Blizzard account, and then that'll be what transfers it.
Do I have one of them?
Yeah, you should do. So we watched the cinematic trailer.
On YouTube.
Yeah, and it featured Winston and Tracer and May getting the gang back together.
I love the quality of them little shorts.
Yeah.
I think they're such good quality and they look like a movie that I'd
like
watch.
Like cutscenes, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really good.
Well, I'm hoping that's sort of how they set it up in Overwatch 2, where you start the mission and it does a cool cutscene like that.
I forgot about that. Yeah, no, it's really good. It made me cry.
Yeah, and who turns up? Genji turns up.
They find out that there's like droids attacking Paris, so they fly to Paris, but said like we need the Overwatch team, but they didn't. No one got back to them, so them three just try and do it themselves. But then Genji shows up.
Farrah, was she there?
I don't think Farrah was there.
Oh.
No, it was Genji.
Reinhardt. Brigitte.
Yeah, Mercy.
Mercy, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mercy turns up.
Because she helps May.
Oh, she does, yeah.
And then the new character.
Yeah, the new character, Echo turns up.
She can fly.
She can fly. That's why I thought Farrah.
Yeah, that's why I knew it wasn't Farrah.
Because she looks like... So Farrah has the jetpack.
Yeah.
Which means she gets boosted up into the air, but then has a limited amount of fuel before it recharges. It looks like this Echo can just... I think she's a healer.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. We don't know anything about her.
Echo.
But yeah, so we don't know when the release date is, but hopefully at some point in the next year. We've been playing Overwatch for about 2 years now, and it's good, but it's quite repetitive, and it would be nice to have something new introduced. They have kept it fresh with new maps and new characters over the years, but this is going to be new events.
Yeah.
Character rework.
Yeah, because even on like the events like Christmas and Halloween, it's like the same thing like every year. So like the skins are getting less and less impressive.
Yeah.
All I want is a reindeer Orisa, because that's so much to ask.
So Orisa is a four-legged robot. Which throws down shields and protects everybody.
She's who I play the most. Like, I feel most confident with Orisa. She is super slow, though. I love it when Lucio's around, because then I just, like, trot along. But, like, I love Orisa, and I feel she just doesn't get the attention she deserves.
Yeah. I always think they move at the same speed.
Orisa is so freaking slow. I don't know, maybe they do, but I always feel like I'm falling behind.
Yeah, it's like the good thing about it is every character feels different. So like Torbjorn being a dwarf is quite low to the ground, Or you can play Moira, whose camera's quite high because she's a taller character and that sort of thing.
Because, like, because Orisa's so big, like, if Traces wasn't around her, she's really hard to, like, see because when you turn, you feel like even turning feels slower.
Yeah. So that's Overwatch. Elsewhere in gaming, there's a game I'm really excited for, which is Jedi Fallen Order. It's the new Star Wars game.
Does that... PS4 or Xbox?
It's PS4 and Xbox, yeah.
Not PC.
I don't know, might be PC as well. But you follow a young Jedi, whose name I can't remember, and basically...
Isn't it something normal, like Sam or Chris?
Probably. I think it's...
Because I've seen the trailer.
I think it's
morning.
The guy who plays the Joker in the Gotham TV series, because it looks
ginger.
Quite like him. Yeah, he is ginger. But it's following the story of this young Jedi on his path to becoming a full Jedi. through exploring the Star Wars universe. What I like about it is it's separate from any of the Skywalker stuff.
Yeah.
What I've really enjoyed is, I'm going to tangent off gaming now, but the Star Wars things recently is not following Jedi storylines. Like, obviously we want to see what happens with Episode 9 when that comes out in December. I really enjoyed Solo, Rogue One, and I really like the look of The Mandalorian because you're not following
And you've got
Jedis.
The Clone Wars as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if they follow Jedis, but they're like another thing that people are really into.
Yeah, that has like Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker, and yeah. I think it's set around...
And Hondo.
Attack of the Clones and Darth Maul and stuff like that. Saying that, Darth Maul was in Solo briefly, wasn't he?
Spoilers.
But it was still mainly about Solo. One thing that we'll definitely preface at the start is there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gaming and a little bit on Star Wars. Is there anything cool you've seen or anything that you're looking forward to in the next couple of weeks?
Frozen 2.
So...
I am super excited. The soundtrack was released yesterday.
Okay.
So I spent, because you were out yesterday with your friend, so I had the house to myself, put the same song on repeat, because that's what I do when I like a song. And poor neighbours just listened to me wailing along to Frozen.
Was the soundtrack good?
The soundtrack is good, apart from when the guy who plays Kristoff has a song to himself, because he does like Sven's voice as well, and it's crap. But
is there anything that's going to rival Let It Go?
Idina Menzel's new song, well, Elsa's new song. I don't think it's the same power as Let It Go. I don't think kids are going to be like singing it the way they
all, all over the place.
But that's the one I put on repeat. And they gave us a sneak peek of it. It was just her like going for ages. And I was like, I cannot listen to her wailing.
Yeah.
But when you listen to it from beginning to end, it's gorgeous. And she's incredible. And
I really
can't wait to see it.
So when's the film up?
22nd of November.
So that is not long from now.
It's Friday.
That's Friday.
I probably won't be seeing it next week.
We'll
see it the week after, probably.
Yeah, so maybe not on the next episode.
Yeah.
But the episode after that will probably be Frozen 2.
Yee! I'm so excited for that.
My thing to be excited for is Star Wars, but that's not until
December.
So we've got a good month before then. Yeah, so...
I don't think there's anything else, is there?
No.
Shall we wrap it up then?
Yeah, wrap it up like a Christmas present. We're not sure if every episode will have the same structure. We might try and introduce more segmented things, but we just wanted to use this episode to sort of get to know us a little bit. Hopefully by the things we talked about builds a picture of the sort of things we're into. But hopefully we'll be able to bring you all news on exciting things coming out or things we've been watching that have been out for a while. We were going to discuss Ozark in this episode because the new series is coming out and we're trying to catch up to before that releases.
But we've got one episode left of season one, so there's no point in discussing it until it's finished.
But we are enjoying it.
Yeah.
Very enticing. And yeah, hopefully we'll have some more stuff for next week.
Yeah.
Maybe try and get some games or something. Segment games. Not like we play a game.
Okay.
And people listen to us play a game.
Like
that'd
Snap.
That'd be real.
Play poker.
That'd be not very interesting.
Okay.
Thing. Also, sorry, I've been sniffing all the way through the episode. I've got a bit of a runny nose.
Gorgeous. This has been episode one of The Perfect Cast. Thank you very much for listening.
If you could subscribe and leave us a review, I will speak to you again next week.
Bye.